the Lord has appeared yesterday, 4th March. Not exactly 4th March, it is called, according to Vedic calendar, Gaur Purnima, the full moon day of the month of Phalgun. Phalgun means up to 15th March. From 15th February to 14th March is the month of Phalgun, according to Bengali calendar. And on the month of Phalgun, the full moon day, full moon night, is the appearance tithi or occasion for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya appeared on the Phalguni Purnima. Purnima means full moon. And Phalguni means the month, which is called Phalgun, which is calculated from 15th February to 14th March. So, after the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, there was great ceremony. All the inhabitants of Navadvip, his father, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, was not very rich man, but was very respectable Brahmin. The Brahmin community, especially in those days, 500 years ago, the Brahmin community as a community, they are not very rich, because they did not care for material opulence. That is the specific quality of Brahmins. There are four classes of men all over the world. People, they are interested for success of this human form of life. They are called Brahmins. And the next class of men, they are interested for political power. Next important class. First important class man is called who are seeking success of the human form of life. And the next class, they are seeking success to become very rich within this material world by political power. Another next class is trying to be successful by material opulence, by earning money in the mercantile community. First class, second class, third class. They are third class. And the fourth class men, they are called Shudras. That means they have no other ambition than to fill up their belly only, that's all. They have no intelligence to become Brahmin, neither to become Kshatriya administrator to occupy political powers, neither they have energy to become very rich businessman or industrialist. Therefore, they are called fourth class men. So, that division is there all over the world. Either you name differently, but these four classes of men are there. Either in India or in America or Hawaii or Japan or anywhere. If you divide all people, they will find one class of men, they are not interested with this opulence of material happiness. They are seeking philosophers, learned scholars, scientists, religionists, reformers. Their business is different. So, naturally, the Brahmin class of men, they are not very rich. What happened? Are always, because they do not endeavor for material opulence, apparently they look very poor. But actually, they are rich in knowledge. But people do not care for knowledge, at the present moment at least. They care for material opulence. They think that this life is meant for highest grade of sense gratification. That is the general thinking. In this city, any city you go, they are struggling very hard. Everyone is trying to get very rich, to get monetary power, so that they can satisfy their senses. Just like I hear from my students that this island, Hawaii, is meant for tourists. Tourists means they are all rich class of men. They come here to spend money for sense gratification. That is the way of civilization, the modern civilization. Earn money at any cost, at the risk of all advancement of life, enjoy. So this is not new thing, but at the present moment in this age, this mentality has increased very in proportion. So, when I came to the compound, to the yard of this house, I was very happy to hear the chanting Hare Krishna. Because in this great city of sense gratification, at least in one corner there is the vibration of Hare Krishna mantra. Today, of course, we find that this small endeavor to praise this Hare Krishna mantra is not very successful, but it has got the potency if the workers try for it. My Guru Maharaj used to say that if people do not come to hear this philosophy, don't be discouraged. You sit down in a room and try to preach, the four walls will hear you. But don't be disappointed. So, there is no cause of disappointment, but this is very, today is very important day. Lord Chaitanya's birthday ceremony, at least in India, especially in Navadvip, there is very, very great ceremony today. Thousands and millions of people are gathering to observe this important ceremony. So ceremony, apart from ceremonial function, let us try to understand the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. So, Lord Chaitanya this is a fact, that this sort of life, seeking material happiness means sense gratification, that's all. Actually, according to Bhagavad Gita, not according to Bhagavad Gita, that is a fact, according to any authoritative statement, sukham mattam tikam jatat atindriya grahyam. Sri Krishna says that sukham attantikam. Attantikam means the super happiness. Attantikam means that which you cannot excel more. That's the final point. That sort of happiness is not possible to achieve. Happiness, first of all, you must understand, happiness means sense gratification. Happiness. You can understand it very easily. If I get some nice foodstuff because it satisfies my taste palate, I feel happiness. Oh, very nice food I am eating. Similarly, you take any of your sense organs, when it is satisfied according to the sense object, it is called happiness. So the common substance of happiness is to sense, satisfy the sense. But Krishna says that sukham atantikam, the supermost happiness can be achieved not by these senses, but otindriya. Otindriya means transcendental senses. Just like at the present moment, our senses are gross material senses. There is another sense, not another sense, this sense, this is covered sense. Suppose you'll be able to understand, now I want to touch some soft place to enjoy the sense of this hand, touch sense. But if the hand is covered with gloves, I cannot enjoy that sense so nicely. You can easily understand. The sense is there, but if it is artificially covered, then even the facility is there, I cannot enjoy the sense perfectly. Similarly, we have got our senses, but our senses are not covered by this material body. Krishna gives us indication in the Bhagavad Gita that the super happiness can be achieved by that sense, not this covered sense. Covered sense, you cannot enjoy the happiness superbly. Sukham attantikam ja tat otindriya graham. Otindriya means transcendental, not this covered sense. And Krishna consciousness means we have got consciousness, everyone is conscious. But that consciousness is covered consciousness. So we are trying to clear the consciousness without any cover, without any collar. Just like there is water, pure water, take sea water. It is very clear. But if you take a clear water and if you color it, then it is colored water, it is not pure water. Or if it is not distilled, if you add some chemical, sugar or salt, then the taste is different. That is not real taste of water. It's like if you thirsty, if you want water, if I give you some adulterated water, you are not satisfied. If you get clear water, pure water, then your thirst is quenched, so I am satisfied. Because the taste is there in the clear water, not in the covered water. Similarly, Krishna says, Sukham attantikam jat, that super happiness, super sense gratification can be achieved by your transcendental sense, not by these covered sense. So our Krishna consciousness movement is to clear that covered sense or this colored consciousness or adulterated consciousness, then everything will be there. You cannot kill consciousness. That is not possible. The Buddha philosophy is to stop consciousness, nibbana. According to Buddha's philosophy, this consciousness is production by combination of this matter. This body is combination of matter, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and according to Bhagavad Gita further, mind, intelligence, ego. This is combination, they are very finely analyzed by the Sankhya philosophy system, by Vedic system, into 24 elements. And according to some, 25, and according to some, 26. According to our Vaishnava philosophy, 26. According to Mahavad philosophy, this is 20. Why? And according to impersonal philosophy, all void philosophy, it is 24. So originally it is 8. So in this way, Buddha philosophy means that this whole existence of our body or our self is a combination of matter. That is the way of thinking of modern scientists also, that this body is a combination of matter. Under Darwin's theory also, like that, organic matter, inorganic matter, they are studying evolution of this matter, organic matter. But actually, that is not the fact. The fact is that we, individual soul, that is the real fact. And that individual soul is the seed, and upon that seed, this body has developed. According to our Vedic understanding, the body develops on the seed. This is very practical. Why you have got different bodies, different types of bodies? Because the condition of the seed is different. The seed is the spirit soul, and by material contact it is covered by finer body, intelligence, mind and ego. And according to the quality of that ego, we develop different kinds of this material gross body. Therefore, somebody has developed the body in the modes of goodness, because material nature is divided into three qualities: goodness, passion and ignorance. Somebody has developed body in the modes of passion, somebody has developed body in the modes of ignorance, but the root is the spirit soul. And the finer cover is desire, ego, intelligence, mind, and the gross cover is this body. So Buddha philosophy simply takes account of this gross body. They do not take account of the mind, because as soon as they go to the platform of mind, then immediately the question will be, whose mind? Whose intelligence? Then you have to come to the spirit soul. But the people for whom this Buddha philosophy was preached, they are not very intelligent class of men. Therefore, Lord Buddha did not give them the information of the subtle body or the soul. They are unable. Why? They are unable. They are gross materialists. The gross materialists, they are animal killers. Gross materialists. Where these animal killers, according to Bhagavata also, they cannot understand finer things. Those who are animal killers and animal eaters, they cannot understand finer philosophical matter. Their brain is gross. Therefore, they are much inclined to mechanical way of life. Machine. Machine is gross, you see. We therefore forbid our students not to be meat eaters, because by refraining yourself from meat eating, you will have and you will develop finer. Not only refraining from meat eating, that is one of the conditions. There are other conditions also, but this is one of the conditions. Parikshit Maharaj said, this Krishna consciousness movement is understandable by liberated class of men. Liberated class means above the Brahmins. But those who are killer of the animals, the killer of the animals are two kinds. One gross killer, killing cows, goats, chickens, these, so many. Gross killer. Another killer is soul killer. Soul killer means those who do not take any care for the soul. They are taking care of this gross body. So there are different kinds of philosophies in the world. But Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is the super philosophy. Super philosophy means, why super philosophy? Just like Lord Buddha's philosophy is there is no acknowledgement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or any God. His philosophy is this body, our material, this present condition is a combination of matter. So you dismantle the matter by meditation, you disperse the matter. Let the earth go to the earth, let the water go to the water, let the fire go to the fire, let this ether go to the ether, the air, because this is combination of earth, water, fire. So disperse it. When go to the total water, total earth, total air, then just like you prepare a doll, you take little earth, you take little water, you dry it in the air, then burn it in the fire, and it becomes a doll. You see, that means you take all the help of all these ingredients and it appears. Similarly, this body has appeared in that way, by combination. So you, if the doll is broken, then in due course of time, it mixes again, thus thou art, thus thou beest, again mixes with the water, earth, air, there is no. So as soon as it is dismantled and dispersed, there is no more consciousness or the feelings of happiness or distress. Because we are all concerned with the feelings or consciousness of happiness and distress. Everyone is embarrassed. Everyone is trying that I shall become happy in this way. So that means he is feeling distress. So, according to Lord Buddha's philosophy, these feelings of happiness, distress is due to this combination of matter. So we dismantle this matter, material, there will be no more distress and nirvana. Finish. Nirvana means finish. But Lord, I am to say, further development, the Shankar, he says, no, matter is not all. This is false. Matter has grown on the platform of spirit, Brahma Satta Jagan Mithya. And the Vaishnava Acharya said, yes, spirit is the basic principle. Matter is false, that's all. But that spirit is not void. There is spiritual construction, as in the material world, there is material construction. In the spiritual world, there is spiritual construction. So that spiritual construction is not known to other philosophers than the Vaishnava philosophers. So the Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, that is the greatest contribution to the world, that these living entities who are hankering after happiness by different process, by material process, by a philosophical process, by mental concoction or mental process, they are trying, and Lord Krishna also said, they are trying, but that happiness is available when your senses or consciousness are pure. The same philosophy is also Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. He says that Jivel Swarupai Nitya Krishna Das. What is that pure consciousness? Krishna said that happiness can be achieved in pure consciousness or when your senses are transcendent. He gave hint. Not only hint, he practically suggested also that you simply surrender unto me. So, Lord Chaitanya said the same thing. Lord Krishna said, as the Supreme Lord, he commanded. He has got the commanding power because he is the Supreme God. That you surrender unto me. Yeah. Just like some superior, the teacher or father or king says, you must do it. But there is force. The state says, you must do it, but there is, if you do not do it, then there is force. That's like this draft board, the demanding that you must join. If you don't join, there will be force. You will be forcibly joined. Have to join. So here in the Krishna's order, because he is Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord, there is no force. There is voluntary. He says that this is life. You surrender unto me. But he could force Arjuna to surrender or anybody because he is Supreme Lord. But that force he does not apply. Because he has given us little independence. Therefore, if he forces, then his gift of independence is misused. From his side, we are misusing our that gift of independence. But for that reason, Krishna cannot withdraw your independence. Just like you are independent citizen, you are. If somebody misuses that independence, he becomes a criminal. But still the independence continues. You are criminal, you are punished, again you are set free. That means you are given again independence. But again if you misuse, then again you are put into prison. Similarly, if the state cannot withdraw your independence, then what is the meaning of this independent country? How God can withdraw the independence he has given to you? That he will not withdraw. It is up to you to use your independence properly. That proper use of independence is to surrender unto. We are suffering, we are manufacturing so many philosophical ways, but the actual position is, that is the statement of Bhagavad Gita, that we are part and parcel of Krishna, God. We are not working according to our particular duty, just like this finger is part and parcel of my body. It has got a particular duty to serve the whole body. When it is unable to do it is painful. The physician or the surgeon says that this finger should be amputated. Otherwise, it will create disturbance to the whole body. Similarly, we are all part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. But not surrendering unto him, misusing our independence, we are giving pain to the Supreme. Therefore, he comes that you surrender. Don't give me pain. You just abide by my order. That will give me pleasure, you will be happy. That state of consciousness, to abide by the order of Krishna, is Krishna consciousness. That's it. So Krishna comes personally to canvas that this is not your proper order of life. You are misusing your independence for sense gratification and wandering through various types of transmigration of bodies, sometimes human bodies, sometimes dog's body, sometimes cat's body, sometimes demigod's body, sometimes rich body, sometimes poor body. So, you stop this business. Krishna says, sarva-dharmān parityaj. You have manufactured so many duties. That duties means you are manufacturing so many bodies. That's all. Why you have got different types of bodies? We have manufactured it. God has given us facility. I wanted to become such and such. He has given us facility. All right, we become such and such. If I want to become a tiger, God will give me all the facilities to become a tiger. He'll give me facilities, paws and nails and teeth, so that immediately I can capture any animal, and with the instruments which is provided within my body, I can immediately scratch it into pieces and eat. Similarly, if you see the cranes, they have got big beaks. Why? Because they have to catch fish from within the water. So the beak must be very long. So there is facility. The hog has different mouth because he has to eat stool. So a different kind of body. So these bodies means we are manufactured according to our different mentality. Krishna says that you stop all this business. Simply you are migrating or transmigrating from one body to another or one planet to another. That will not make you happy. Sarva-dharmān, you just surrender unto me. Because you are meant, your original creation is meant for serving me. Just like this, this body, when this body was made in the womb of my mother, it was just like a small pea. And from that pea, different holes came out, and then hand came out, leg came out, the fingers came out. Why? This finger was created. Because I require the service of the fingers. Suppose if I want to press something, if there was no nail, then I cannot press. It is so nicely manufactured. By my energy, by my desire, and nature supply me ingredient, it is manufactured. So you are manufacturing different bodies, but our real sense is covered. So that transcendental sense can be discovered when we give up the sense, this material sense gratificatory process by creating different kinds of body. So that is the profit of Krishna consciousness. So, the people of modern civilization, they have no information about this, how this body is being created. They're simply busy with the present problem. That's all. Present problem is not problem. We are eternal. Our problem is eternal. Therefore, the modern age, the people are not very intelligent. They are advertising themselves that they are very much advanced. Actually, they are fools. And it is folly to be wise where ignorance is bliss. The whole world is full of ignorance. Therefore, we are trying to preach this Krishna consciousness. It is our folly. It is our folly. The crying in the wilderness. But we cannot stop this business. You see? They may think that why you are nonsense people, you have given up everything, you are chanting Hare Krishna, you are all fools, you are not enjoying life. They may say like that, but our, because we have nothing to do with them, our business is to satisfy the Supreme. That is my real sense gratification. I have got my senses. As soon as I use it for my satisfaction, it is material. And as soon as I use them for Krishna's satisfaction, it is spiritual. That's all. Try to understand the distinction between material and spiritual. Material means this, I have to act. Acting means I have to act with my senses, with my desires, with my thinking, feeling, willing, so many things, because that is original. You cannot stop your thinking, feeling, willing, working, because that is your original nature. You are living entity. If you have no thinking, feeling, willing, desire or working, then what is the difference between you and the stone? You are not stone. Some philosophers are trying to make you stone, but that is not possible. You cannot become stone. So the whole process is to rectify, to purify your senses. And the purified sense means, instead of using the senses for this so-called material happiness, one has to utilize the senses for happiness of Krishna. That is purified sense. The example, the vivid example is Arjuna. Arjuna was not willing to fight to satisfy his senses. He thought that if I do not kill my brother or nephews or my grandfather or my teacher, the other side, that will make me happy. If they are killed, then where is my happiness? This is material calculation, because he was giving more importance to the material body. What is his brother? What is his grandfather or teacher? He was seeing the material, just like what is our calculation. I am thinking somebody my friend and another body as my enemy. Why? Because I make distinction on the bodily platform. I say, American, they are my friends. Russians, they are my enemies. Why? What is the platform of this distinction? The platform is body. Because one has got the Russian body by somewhere or other, another body has got American body. I am making distinction. So this distinction is on the material platform. On the spiritual platform, there is no such distinction, because it is simply spirit. Vidyavinaya sampanni brahmani gavihastini sunichita sapakicha pandita samadhas. One who is pandita. Pandita means learned. He does not make any distinction between a learned Brahmin or a dog or a cat or a cow, because he sees the spirit. So we have come to that spiritual platform. We have to give up our this sense gratification process, and that is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practically demonstrated how to adopt that life of pure sense gratification or pure utilization of the senses. He said, Jive Sarupai Nitya Krishna Das. Jive Sarupa, I mean the real nature of the living entity is eternal servita, eternal servant of Lord Krishna. The same thing. What Krishna taught in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught also in his this Bhagavad Dharma teaching, and practically he showed how to do it. That is his special. Lord Krishna said, Sarva dhanman parityajya mamekam saranam bhaja. You give up all your material engagement, simply just surrender unto me, I shall give you all protection from all reaction of your past sinful activities, because we are creating our next body in this life. So if we become sinful, or if we act only sinful activities, then we get next body, a very lower class of body. Even as the germ in the stool, you see, there are so many varieties of bodies. And if we act nicely, piously, then we get better body. Urdhanga chanti satta swa. Those who are acting, those who are situated on the platform of goodness, they are promoting their existential status in higher planets. Urdhanga chanti satta swa madhye tishtanti rajasa. And those who are in the modes of passion, they will remain here. And jaghanna guna vittistha adhogacchanti tamasa. And those who are very addicted to all abominable habits, they are clearing their way to hellish life. So, to abominable life is these four principles that we are trying to avoid. So Lord Chaitanya's teaching, the sum and substance of his teaching is to understand that we are eternal servant of God. And if we immediately engage our energy to satisfy Krishna, then immediately we are transferred to the spiritual platform. And if we stick to that activities on the spiritual platform, then, as assured by Lord Krishna, then after leaving this body, we go back to Krishna, Vrindavan, go back to Godhead, back to home. That is our peaceful, eternal peaceful life. We should endeavor for that. Thank you very much. Where is that girl? See?
Why does Krishna have an external energy?
Why not? First of all, say why not? Why? What is your objection?
Well, if he's pure, everything bad in
his life. He's pure, always pure. Suppose. You are very nice girl, nice. But because you pass some urine or stool, does it mean that you are bad? Does it mean? Then? The urine may be bad, the stool may be bad, but because you passed urine or stool, you are not bad. Is it clear? Krishna has got this external energy, that does not make Krishna bad. Try to understand it. If somebody asks, oh, you are so nice, girl, nice, why you are passing stool and urine? Is there any argument? I'm just speaking on the argument, sir. Is that any good argument? That because you are very good, you shall not pass stool and urine? Or because you are very good, therefore your urine and stool also be very good? Is that any argument? So similarly, if Krishna has created this external energy, that is for his satisfaction, that's all. But why should you take If we are confident about Krishna's goodness, why should he bother about Krishna's stool and urine? Why not directly Krishna? Let Krishna pass any amount of stool and urine. We have nothing to do with that. So let there be external energy. You have nothing to do with that. You cannot say, oh, Krishna is all good, therefore his urine and stool. Try to understand. His urine is also good. That's a different thing. I mean to say, if this is an argument that because Krishna is good, he should not pass urine and stool, there is no argument. It is not an external energy. Is not affecting Krishna. The urine and stool is affecting. There are some worms. They are very much attracted with the stool. You see, they are also creatures of Krishna. Similarly, this material nature, external energy of Krishna, is Krishna. There's not. Undoubtedly it is Krishna. But that one class of living entities, they are attracted by it. We should not be attracted. That should be our, because we are not going to be worms of the stool. Krishna, there are many arguments. If you ask question, why the government has created this criminal department? Is that valid question? The jail department is criminal department, prison, where citizens are put into jail and given trouble. If the prisoner says, why the American government has created this prison department? Is that valid question? The American government may create prison departments, but by why you are interested there? Why you are going there? Position is, because you are criminal, therefore government has to create such a bond. So this material energy is created by Krishna because there are some living entities who are not to satisfy Krishna but satisfy their senses. For them it is there. All right, your field of activity is here. So it is not Krishna's desire. It is fulfill your desire. Because in the spiritual world, Krishna is supreme. But if you cannot tolerate Krishna supreme, even here there are so many, why there should be God? I am God. I am God. Are you God? But you have got this me mentality that I am God. You cannot qualify yourself. You do not know what is God, what is the meaning of God. You are claiming God. Because you do not want to serve God. That is your mentality. So for these last lowest class of men, there is external energy. As a man, they will not abide by the laws of the state. They will repeatedly break it. Therefore, all right, to go there and do whatever you like. That is not government's intention, that people go there and indulge in unrestricted gambling. And there, that Mr. Bhattacharya told me that sometimes some rich man goes there with all his wealth and stake it. And when he's lost, he fires himself. And the gambling managers pulls him down and throws him there. There is no law for such killing or such a homicide or anything. Do whatever you like. You see? So there is a class of man. Yeah. Just like a liquor shop. Liquor shop is licensed by the government. Does it mean the government is encouraging that you become drunkard? But government is giving this license because there is a class of men who must drink and they will violate all, say, all diet. Let them have. Similarly, there are two kinds of living entities. Nitya baddha, nitya mukta. Eternally liberated and eternally conditioned. You see? So for the conditioned, they will never agree to abide by God. Therefore, for them, this material world, external energy, all right, you do whatever you like. You do according to. But still, there is canvassing work. God sends His Son to canvass, this is not your right engagement. Please come back to home, back to God. Krishna comes, God Himself comes. He sends His devotees. He comes as a devotee just to again reclaim them. But they are so stubborn, they will not give up this habit. Even in their so-called spiritual cultivation, they are thinking that I am God. I am the mover of the sun, I am the mover of the moon, I am the supreme, and this way. That is a disease. You see? So as for the diseased person, there is a hospital. There is operation is going on, there's so many severe things are going on. Similarly, for the criminal, there is prison department. So there, it is not the government's desire that there should be a hospital or prison house. They can save so much money. But the people want it. A class of men, third class men, they want this. They want to be diseased, they want to be criminals. So there must be some department for them. Just like Monte Carlo. So, this is a facility for the living entities, for the slight independence which has been given by God to them, that's all. So material energy is there, not by Krishna's own will. You want it, therefore there is. Is that clear? Yes. There will be no more. Is that possible? How many people are coming to become Krishna conscious? So therefore it must remain. Why do you grudge? But you be careful. That's all. That is your business. Any other question?
Withdraw that independence. Can we request Krishna to force us to surrender to Him due to our condition?
Yes, you can request Him. And He sometimes forces. He puts you in such circumstances that you have no other way than to surrender to Krishna. Yes? That is special favor. That is special favor. My spiritual master wanted me to preach, but I did not like it. But he forced me. Yes? That is my practical experience. I had no desire to accept the sannyas order and preach, but my spiritual master wanted it. I am not very much inclined, but he forced me. That is also done. That is special favor. When he forced me at that time, I thought that what is this? What I am committing some mistake or the, what is that? I was puzzled. But a little after I could understand that it is the greatest favor shown to me. So when Krishna forces somebody to surrender, that is a great favor. But generally he does not do so. But he does so to a person who is very sincere to Krishna's service, but at the same time he has got slight desire for material enjoyment. In that case he does. That this foolish person does not know that material facility will never make him happy. And he sincerely seeking my favor. But see, he is foolish. Therefore, whatever resource, little resource he has got for material enjoyment, break it. Then he will have no other alternative than to surrender it. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavat. Jasyam anugrinnami harisaita dhanam sanai. Krishna says that if I do somebody special favor, then I make him poverty stricken. I take away all his means of sense enjoyment. You see? That is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because here, in this material world, everyone is trying to be happy by earning more money, by business, by service, by this way or that way. But in special cases, Krishna makes his business or service unsuccessful. Do you like that? At that time, he has no other alternative than to surrender to Krishna. But sometimes when you are unsuccessful in our business attempt or earning attempt, we become sorry that Krishna is so cruel upon me that I could not sustain this. But that is his favor, a special favor. You should understand like that.